Everybody wants to tell you their story, whether they're late for rent or whatever the case is. And I think that's a con. This is a business. And we've said it before on this podcast. You're running a business. You must treat it like a business. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and I'm glad to be back here with you today. Today, we're going to answer a question that a lot of people ask, and they type it up. They're looking for it online. They want to know, what is the best thing I should do if I'm buying rental houses? Should I manage these myself, or should I hire a property manager? Now, this question, I think, has become a lot more popular in the age of the remote real estate investor, right? So back when I was wholesaling houses, I mean, I was selling a vast majority, 99% of, well, really 100% of everything I sold was to local investors. And it was after the Great Recession that we saw a big boom in out-of-state investing. People from California, people from New York, from Florida, all over investing in low to moderate income housing in the Southeast. And so this has just continued to be a trend. And so these people are most likely, they're thinking, hey, well, can I manage it from California? Well, probably not, but it's still a good question to ask. I mean, I know of investors who are out of state who try to manage it themselves. You know, they do it, right? So they have developed relationships with attorneys. They built their team, right? Attorneys, CPAs, handymen, people like that who can actually help them. And we actually even had a client who, once he got up to, I want to say around 36 or 40 houses, something like that, he hired somebody locally to take care of his properties for him. So he could afford just to do that. So essentially he lived out of the country. So he didn't even live in the city where his houses were. He lived out of the country and was able to do it. But I think it's something worth exploring. And I think I've got some good insight to this because I've done both. I have self-managed properties, about 30 houses. I've also outsourced to property managers. This is well before I worked with Evernest, which I joined the team in 2014. So as of this recording, almost 7 years. But before that, I had managed myself. In my previous life, I managed myself when I was a real estate investor, like actively full-time investing. And so I just want to kind of give you my thoughts on it. And maybe I'm going to help you make a decision. Maybe I'll help you think through this. I know that we have a lot of local investors who listen to this podcast, people who are in the city. We have professionals that listen to the podcast. So there's a lot of people who could be attorneys, doctors. They could have a normal day job. They're doing this on the side, but they're really kind of considering, should I manage property by myself or should I hire a property manager? So let's dive in. I want to talk about the pros first. When I was thinking about this, I remember buying which I've talked about here on the podcast before. My first group of rentals was a 10-house package, and I did it all myself, right? So I took care of it all myself. I rented the house out myself. I showed it myself. I did all of that, and I did this for a couple of years, 2-3 years maybe. So let's look at this. What are the pros to doing this? Number one, I think the first pro is, and immediately I'm just thinking about what I did with my properties once I bought them. When I bought this portfolio, I had to get rid of some tenants, which I was able to do without any trouble. And I was able to source handymen myself, and I believe probably save some cost. And what I mean by that is I would say most property managers are hiring or are using established vendors to do the work for them because they're licensed, they're insured. I know that we at Evernest, we have our own team. So we have in-house maintenance, which makes us really unique. These people are our employees and we like it that way because we control the quality and we can give warranties. But when I was doing this myself, I knew that I could go out and get estimates. I could get as many estimates as I wanted to fix up a house. And I remember my first package. my house package. I found a guy who worked in this particular area of town, and this was just his area of town. He lived somewhat pretty close by, and man, he had tons of experience. And so it didn't take me long walking houses with him to understand that he knew what he was doing. Now, I will say that, so I saved money. I know that. So that is one pro to doing it yourself. Now, what I will say is I had to move on from that person because the quality was just not there. So I found myself coming back and having to fix things again and again and again. So that was a problem. Another challenge that I had was really just revolved around that, kind of the cheaper work. Later on, I found a couple of people, a couple of guys, they were partners, and they did a lot of work for me. And another issue that I struggled with there was just reliability, like doing what they said they were going to do. And it's, you know, when you're trying to get a house rented or fix something for a resident, it's really important that you're able to do this quickly as possible, because resident doesn't want to wait for you to get your act together. They don't care what the excuses are from your handyman. And so that was a little bit of a drawback, but I definitely, a pro is if you can find somebody that you can trust who can do quality work, and then you more than likely may be able to save some money. So that would be a pro of self-managing. You know, I think at some point, to make it where it makes sense to this handy person, what you want to do is own enough rental properties where you have somebody that pretty much is on call for you all the time. If you have one house here and one house there, it's going to be tougher for them to be committed to what you're doing. Because they're going to, you know, hey, you're not going to have a job for them every week. And so they're going to need to go out and find other stuff. They could get busy. And at some point, they just won't pick up your phone call. Just depending on, especially if you keep getting estimates from them and not using them for work. So that's one pro of self-management. Number two, I would say the second one is, you know, I was showing my own property, so I was able to see the applicants, like meet the applicants in person, walk through the property with them, talk to them, and get a better sense of who they were during the screening process, right? With a property management company, you are not going to have the ability to do that. You just have to trust their process. And when I was doing it myself, I, you know, was showing the property and talking with them, hearing a little bit more about them. Also, a great thing about this is I was able to answer objections. Like if they had questions or if they were, oh, I'm not sure about this, man, I could answer an objection right off the bat and maybe keep that person interested in the property. Whereas a property manager more than likely is not going to do that. It is a numbers game. They're looking at it as a numbers game. I know that we are at Evernest. We are going to try to find as many applicants as possible. We have a specific set of criteria that we're going to follow every single time. Now, we are answering questions. If they have questions, they'll email us or text us or whatever, and we'll get back with them. But realistically, we are going through so many people. Like imagine we manage just like right at 5,000 properties. So we are, and we have an in-house department that's all they do is approve applicants and find great applicants. And so it is really a well-oiled machine. It didn't used to be. It used to be rough, but it's a well-oiled machine. But when you are managing your own property, especially if you have a vacancy, like one vacancy every 5 or 6 months, one vacancy a year, it's not that big of a deal. You can really dial it in and get a really good sense of who you're renting to, answer objections, and it will, you know, I think that's probably a pro. You may even build a relationship with your resident. They know who you are. More than likely, they're going to get your cell phone and be able to reach out to you and get incredible customer service. All right, number three, and this is kind of just what I was talking about, is really the tenant. Once you place that tenant, they're going to have access to you directly, and there's not going to be any delays in decision-making, right? So when they call you and say, hey, I have got an issue, the air has gone out. It's July 4th, and the air has gone out. I need help. You're going to be able to answer that and take care of them right away. If it comes to a property management company, we've got to find you, track you down, and try to get a decision from you as to what you want to do, even, you know, for maybe it doesn't even have to be that big of an issue. But when you are managing it yourself, like there's no delays in decision making, you know, and you probably know every single thing about the house. You know how old the AC is. You know what kind of issues it's had. You've called an AC repairman before. You know, you've been up on the roof. You understand, you know, how long you have left on that roof. You understand more about that house because you're doing the daily management. Not that it's a daily deal, but you, there's zero barrier versus having a property manager that is going to be kind of the in-between, the go-between person. And then I think another pro of self-management is you're able to keep an eye on that property a lot closer. We have inspections as a property manager. We do inspections, annual inspections, where we go in and look at the property. But if you're taking a maintenance call and you call a plumber or something, or you call an electrician or an HVAC person, you could go over there and meet them there. And that way you have eyes on the property. You're more than likely going to see more about what's going on in that property than your property manager is, especially property managers who are sending out vendors. So if a property manager has vendors and they're sending those out, then more than likely it's, you know, they're not getting a detailed report about what's going on in there, but you would have eyes on that property. And I think that can be really beneficial. You know, our annual inspections are just that. If we are managing a property and it is, we're not hearing from the resident, we're still going to go in there once a year. And we used to do quarterly inspections, but we realize a couple of things. Man, that is a lot of inspections for us to accomplish. And it's also the residents did not like us coming in the house four times a year on top of any kind of maintenance calls. Like they thought that we were always there. And that's not what we want to do, because we do not want to have, especially great tenants, we don't want them frustrated at us for coming in there and deciding when that lease comes up, that lease renewal, that they think, well, you know what? I'll go somewhere where they don't bother me as much, because that's what they'll do. All right, what's another pro? I mean, the big one probably that everybody's thinking about or probably should be thinking about is, hey, you don't pay any fees. You're not paying any fees. You're not paying a property manager to place a tenant. Now, I know that our placement fee, depending on what market you're in, what city you're in when you are using our services, because we're in 11 different markets, just depending on what service, it's usually 50% of the first month's rent. In some cases, I know in Birmingham, it's a full month's rent. So thank you. Avoid that by placing the tenant yourself, showing that property, taking applications, running those applications, approving a tenant, getting a lease signed, collecting the first month's rent and security deposit. You're saving that leasing fee. And then not only are you saving the leasing fee, you're also saving the monthly management fee. Then there's also a lease renewal fee that you're saving. So think about that. That's right there. That is three fees that you could be saving by doing it yourself. So I think that is a big pro that obviously people consider when they're thinking about property management companies. And really, those, to me, those are the things you really need to think about. And then you need to ask the question, is it worth it? Is my time, is my energy worth it? Or could I take that same time and energy and go do something else with it more valuable? That ultimately is the question. So what are the cons of managing property? These are cons that I've seen, you know, when I was doing it myself. And there are some definite cons, just really depending on your personality, probably. Depending on maybe your personality. And if you are 100%, hey, you are a real estate investor, 100%, this is what you do with your day job, then hey, shoot, it may make sense just to do everything yourself. I mean, that's what I was doing when I was living in Birmingham, and I was down in these areas almost every single day. I was near my property management company. I mean, near my rental houses all of the time. So what are the cons? Well, one of the first cons is showing the property. Showing the property can be just excruciating, especially if you don't live anywhere near the property. If you're having to drive to show this property, and then guess what? Sometimes they don't show up. somebody may not show up. And that's a problem. When they don't show up, you just have to go back home. And you may text them and they may say, hey, I'm running late or whatever, but it just takes time to show the property. And you cannot afford to get lazy with this. You cannot afford to take shortcuts. You have to stick to your underwriting process. You have to stick to you have to do everything by the book. You cannot, and the temptation is to get so frustrated with showing the property that you slack in your approval process. You know what? They seem like a nice person. I'm going to rent the house to them. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. All it takes is running into one professional renter. And these are people who know how to con landlords. All it takes is running into one of those and you will learn your lesson. And it'll cost you several thousand dollars. So showing the property to me is a con of self-management. Number two is just really the underwriting process. Like, you are not a pro at this. You're not a pro. And more than likely, you're never going to be. You're never going to underwrite hundreds and hundreds and thousands of applicants each year. You're going to underwrite a few. And so, you know, I think that there's something to be said for that. You are more susceptible, just like I was talking about, you're more susceptible to dealing with your feelings and not the facts. And you need to stick with the facts. So your underwriting experience is most definitely is a con. Third one is something that I said was a pro earlier is also a con, and that is managing maintenance people. Oh my goodness gracious. Like I told you about two. I told you about two, but there were many more than that. Like, I was finding anybody, and I had investor friends in the city who we would share contacts as long as we weren't like keeping them full time busy. Like, we would share people and say, hey, you need to, I would say, I've got an issue with this. I had my buddy Brian Miles, and he would say, here's who you need to call. He'll do this. He'll do that. I'm trying to think, there was somebody that I shared with. It might've been with Matthew. I can't really remember, but anyway, yeah. So I think managing maintenance people can be rough, you know, just because, I mean, this, you get a lot, there's a lot of people in this profession who are living paycheck to paycheck, and they are going to go to the next job as quick as possible. And sometimes you can get talked into, you know, paying them a little bit before the job is done, and you just have to watch out. It could be that your job doesn't get done. We finally ended up with somebody who did a lot of work for us, was a father and son team, and they were awesome. I love them, you know, but however, they were very slow. Great work, honest, well-priced, but oh my goodness, were they slow. And if I ever went out there to check on a job, man, I would end up having to talk to this person forever. So that is definitely a con. I would say next danger with managing property yourself is really getting caught up in the resident's story. So it kind of goes with number two, which is underwriting, the underwriting experience. Like, you don't have the experience to underwrite these people. It kind of gets caught up in that, like emotionally tied up in a resident's story or a tenant's story. And if you listen to stories, like, everybody has a story. Everybody wants to tell you their story, whether they're late for rent or whatever the case is. And I think that's a con. This is a business. And we've said it before on this podcast. You're running a business. You must treat it like a business. You must treat it like a business. If I was ever late on my mortgage payment, the bank is not going to call up and listen to my story for the most part. Right? They deal with so many people. It's just, hey, it's cut. It's black and white. Let's just get to the chase. And I think that landlords, for the most part, have trouble doing that when they're managing one or two houses and they like a tenant, which is great. I think that's a positive thing, but they can get kind of caught up into the story. And I just think that there's a better way to do that, and that is to treat it like a business and make business decisions, not emotional decisions. And then last one is really, like, you are the contact for everything. And so that means that your phone is going to be ringing. You're going to be contacted. You're going to be dealing with everybody, every vendor, every maintenance person, every tenant request, every utility issue. You know, you're going to be super involved. And then probably the biggest time that you're involved, like what takes the most time, is during a turn, right? When a resident moves out, you've got to make sure you have an accounting of their security deposit and do that by the book and legally. And then you're going to have, you know, just, I mean, you're going to be responsible for getting estimates, for getting the work done, managing the contractor, getting the house on the market, getting it listed everywhere, showing the property. I mean, that is a lot of the communication. And then hopefully if you have a great tenant, then it's, you know, then they're not contacting you too much. But I can tell you, listen, everybody always hear stories of a tenant contacting them in the middle of the night. Well, I had it happen and it was not a fun experience because I do remember waking up. My phone was in the bathroom for some reason. I went in there. I saw who it was. It was one of my tenants. I just turned it off. I was like, there's nothing I was going to do that night at 2 a.m. that was going to solve any situation ever. Now, what I didn't know was it probably would have calmed the resident down a little bit, maybe, but I had a HVAC person install in the house a unit, and it was up in the attic, and the drip pan was not installed properly, so it was tilted, and the condensation was dripping in the drip pan, and it spilled on and got the sheetrock on the ceiling so wet that it caved in the middle of the night, and it fell on her in the bed. So just imagine wet sheetrock falling in your bed. Not a good thing. So I got several voicemails. I had several voicemails in the morning. I'll spare you with what she was calling me or telling me, but it was not good. And so you don't have a buffer, right? When you are the owner/manager, you do not have a buffer. You are fielding every call. No matter what you're doing, you have to be attentive and alert and handle their requests. So those are really the pros and the cons. I mean, obviously, we have thousands of owners that use us to manage their property. So property managers, you know, I would say, man, this is what happened to me. So I was managing all my property when I was full-time investor. That's what I was doing. Well, when the bottom fell out of the market, I actually had started a nonprofit with some friends of mine. And this nonprofit meant that I had to travel internationally, you know, several times a year. And it wasn't a good idea for me to be the property manager, because when I was gone for 2 weeks at a time, like, nobody could get in touch with me and I was the only contact. And so I turned my properties over to my good friend, Matthew Whitaker, who started Evernest back in 2008. So it's probably late 2008, early 2009, I started traveling a lot and turned all my properties over to him. It was around 30 at the time. And so I saw the value and I was paying 10% at the time. It was like 10%, whatever the maintenance was, whatever. I did not have time to look at it, to think about it, or definitely not to like haggle back and forth. And they took care of me. Like, they managed my properties well. Would contact me when I needed to be contacted. And so I would just recommend, listen, no matter kind of what you're thinking about, or if you have one property or 20 or 30 properties, like, these are things to consider. And we have found that, you know, we have a lot of very, very happy investors who use us. And then there are people who are happy doing it themselves because it's just something they love to do. I think you've just got to figure out what works best for you. What works best for your schedule, for your family, for your career goals, your business goals, your rental property goals. All of that is very, very important and probably ties into this. All right, guys and ladies and gentlemen, that is it. That's it for this episode of our podcast. So please leave us a review, share it with your friends. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@evernest.co. That's podcast@evernest.co. If you have any subjects you would like to hear about, maybe you even have a part of the city that you want us to talk about. And we'll be back with more episodes. We look forward to joining you next week.